Teaching can be accomplished in a few ways. You can repeat material, explain it, editorialize it, or compel students to become engaged with it. The next guest says that our education system is failing to apply that last and really most effective method of teaching students one of the most important subjects there is, American history. To explain the impact of the absence of this path of education, what it denies students, as the senior director of the Ashbrook Center at Ashland University, Jason Ross. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Chris.
And the website is ashbrook.org, and there's a couple of other websites, too. Well, I'll give you one right now as far as for documents and for really the teaching of the foundation documents, teachingamericanhistory.org is a tandem website, which will get into as well. But when you look at the stats, Jason, as far as American history and school students' proficiency in that in America, we're not exactly delivering the message of heritage to the kids, are we?
No. It's very sad to see how poorly educated we are as far as our own history. I think all of your listeners will have seen the familiar jaywalking segments on the old Jay Leno show where Jay and his crew would ask questions about American history and get embarrassing responses. And I think America's citizens and students deserve better than the kind of education that we've been giving them.
This is from the U.S. Department of Education. The latest national testing results, only 12% of 12th grade students, in other words, a year away from going into college, 12% of 12th grade students performed at or above the proficient level in U.S. history, and that's lower than any other subject, literacy, math, any other science. There's fewer students in school today that are proficient in history than there are in science.
And that's very sad, because every single one of those students who's graduating from high school with such a poor education in civics, in American history, they're all going to be citizens. They're all going to be able to vote. They're all going to have the rights and responsibilities of citizens, and they have such a poor understanding of what those rights and responsibilities are.
With that lacking, I mean, people are always bemoaning how the political system is gamed, it's controlled by the few and not by we the people. How much is that history ignorance allowing a political system, which, I mean, when you think back to the Constitution and its details, it's not just the initial Bill of Rights and the preamble, which, you know, most students, well, I'm probably dating myself, at least when I was in school, at one point in your high school education, you had to memorize a preamble of the Constitution. But when you look at the Constitution as a document, short of the few amendments that had to come after its ratification, boy, those guys got it all down and got it right. And it was working as soon as the first cylinder hit the engine.
Well, one of the things that you point out is that there is a sense amongst many of our young people that they don't have a say, that they don't have a voice. And I think one of the things that is most tragic about our failure to educate our students about our history is that when you look at American history, even though there certainly were limitations on the numbers of people who were able to participate in the system at our founding, this was still the most democratic place in the world. And over the course of American history, we have become more democratic. More people have had the opportunity to participate in the process. And so one of the things that I wish that our young people had the opportunity to understand is that there is a place in the process for them. One of the sad things about the way in which our education of our young people in our history and in civics, one of the really sad things about that is that young people are getting a kind of apathy from their education.
Oh, Jason Ross, who is a senior director of the Ashbrook Center at Ashland University. Ashbrook.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Remark to Jason, too, before we started, the Federalist Papers, another one of our foundation documents of overview and pointing out an instruction of what was the process of ratification of the Constitution, in a way that was our first Twitter, social media, or blogs.
That's right. The Federalist Papers were written as op-ed essays. They were written to engage the citizens of the state of New York in the ratifying of the Constitution. And I think we look back at those documents and We say, well, they're written in very challenging and elevated language, and they must have been meant for an elite. But that couldn't be further from the truth. They were written for the farmers and the mechanics and the artisans, just as well as for the lawyers.
And a lot of these foundation documents you could see at teachingamericanhistory.org. That's their tandem website. And as far as, let's look at answering that deficiency, Jason, because that's what your organization does through both connecting with the teachers and guiding them to get the information to the students, as well as for the students to go off on their own and find out their own awareness of the what they're missing out on or what they're not really understanding or even appreciating. And let's start with the teachers as far as what tools and what guidance does the Ashbrook Center make available to the teachers?
Well, we have been working with teachers since 1989. We have trained over 10,000 teachers in how to teach American history and government, how to teach their students about what it means to be an American. We have a whole range of resources for them. You've mentioned our teachingamericanhistory.org website. This is a source for primary documents, almost 2,500 documents from American history that are all indexed by the state standards that teachers are expected to teach. We also have a Master of Arts degree program that is designed specifically for teachers of American history and government, the only degree program of its kind. I think your listeners would be surprised at how little education in history most history teachers receive before they get sent into the classroom.
I was going to ask you about that, too. Is this the result of a generational watering down? It wasn't just like a flip of a switch. All of a sudden, we became vastly ignorant of history. This has been something that's been developing over the generations, because now the old catchphrase is, if you're talking about something before the Vietnam War in history classes, you're talking about ancient history.
Well, yes, that's right. And I think an important element here is that our teachers' training is increasingly in method over subject matter. So it is not uncommon for a teacher to go through an education degree and to only get 12 or 15 hours of content in the subject area that they're asked to teach. So I see this all the time in the teachers that we work with. They come to one of our programs and they have very little in the way of content knowledge in the history or in the civics that they're expected to teach. And they will come to our programs and they will say, you know, I know it's important for me to teach the Declaration of Independence or to teach the Bill of Rights, but I don't know how to teach it. Nobody has ever asked me to read those documents. I don't understand them, and I can't communicate the important points to my students. And I think we are doing a disservice to our teachers in failing to give them the support and the training that they need to be able to teach this content to our students.
It's kind of sad when a teacher could get more training by watching that old movie 1776 back from the 70s versus what they are getting through the education that the training that they're paying for. Wrapping up our time with Jason Ross, who is the Senior Director of the Ashbrook Center at Ashland University, ashbrook.org. On the web, you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I mentioned for students, you have a huge variety of programs for students with webinars and the focus on what are considered to be the 50 core documents of American history. And this, to me, this sounds like a great idea for a student who is developing a passion. It can spark the passion. And as they're being taught in school, it can expand their awareness and they can actually become more active contributors in the learning process and the education process and the discussion process in the classroom.
That's right. One of the things that we're proudest of is our 50 Core American Documents volume. We've distributed over 50,000 copies of this volume. This is an introduction to American history that is solely through primary source documents. We think it's critically important for teachers and students to know and understand and read and talk about primary documents, to read the Declaration of Independence, to read the Gettysburg Address, and then to talk about them with one another. We think that there's a dramatic story of freedom in American history, and we want for our students to understand that story and to see themselves as a part of that story. So we put together this list of the 50 core American documents that we think best encapsulates that story of the unfolding of freedom in American history. And we encourage the teachers that we work with to engage their students in conversations about this. And what the teachers that we work with tell us, once they begin to incorporate more primary documents into their classrooms, instead of textbooks and instead of lectures, what we find is the teachers tell us that their students are much more engaged, they're much more interested, they like to be able to have a voice in the classroom, they like to have their opinions heard, and they like the give and take of the kind of conversations that emerge from discussion of these primary source documents.
Imagine that. History can be fun, and I certainly recommend you as a teacher, a parent with students, and the students to find your own comfort zone and path for a starting block or an expansion path. But I can equally recommend starting off by reading the Federalist Papers, gravitate over to James Madison's notes from the Constitutional Convention and the letters of John Adams as well, and you'll get some very exciting reads in through the words, the written words. You find out what the passion was, not just the hard structure was in the design of what became the United States of America and the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence. To find out more about the Ashbrook Center and all the programs they offer for teachers as well as for students. And if you're just a history nut like me, you're going to find a lot of fun documents there to spend a day or two or a week or two with, ashbrook.org, as well as teachingamericanhistory.org. We've been joined by the senior director, Jason Ross. Jason, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris.